Chris not up there, then that's.
I'm going to call to order a regular meeting of the Grove Beach City Council for Monday, July 19th, 2010. Would you all please stand and rise for a moment of silence for a loved one with us, and then remain standing for the flag salute this evening. Thank you. City Manager, would you like to do some questions?
Yes. Face the flag and call after me. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Be seated. Roll call.
Here.
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 Here. Thank you, Donna. Okay, let's move into our closed session announcement. City Attorney, can you cover those, please?
Certainly. Honorable Council members, members of the public, last meeting on July 6th, the Council convened into closed session and met on four separate items, all having to do with instructions to negotiator for bargaining groups, and these groups were general employees for SCIU, Grover Beach Police Officers Association, unrepresented employee group of management, confidential employees, and executive management. Council reconvened to open session. There were no reportable actions taken.
Thank you, City Attorney. Let's move on to agenda review. At this time, we'll review the order of business to be conducted and see if we want to make any changes to the agenda. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, so let's proceed with the agenda as presented by staff this evening. The first item is a ceremonial calendar item, and this is an award of merit from the California Association of Environmental Professionals to the City of Grover Beach for the General Plan Environmental Impact Report prepared by the Morrow Group. So, Mary, you're on.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, I get to do something fun tonight. I get to give you guys an award.
Ooh, yeah.
Remember the land use element and master EIR?
Sort of, yes.
Yes, it was 171 pages.
Yeah.
California Environmental Quality Act likes the EIRs to be 150 pages. That's something we never get to do very often. Normally they're thousands of pages long. Not quite, but almost. Anyway, the Association of Environmental Professionals, which is an organization that I was the director at large for, the AEP has been a nonprofit organization since I started in the planning business back in 1971. The AEP was formed about the same time. So for about 40 years, this organization has been providing awards to outstanding environmental documents and outstanding opportunities to further our profession and to further the protection of the environment and also further the understanding of the California Environmental Quality Act. So it's been around for a long time. Every year they award on various categories. The category I submitted, your land use element for, was the Outstanding Environmental Document Award and the Outstanding Planning Document that furthered the understanding of the environmental issues and also as a public information, public document. So I'm very excited to say that the document won a merit award for Outstanding Environmental Document. And I'm here to present it to you.
Wow.
Pat Beck, luckily, was able to come down to Palm Springs, so I even have pictures of Pat getting the award for you guys.
Oh, good.
Well, then I think it's only fitting for Pat's Bruce, for you who are following Pat, to accept this award this evening.
Yeah.
Actually, they did the worst.
So anyway, this says Association of Environmental Professionals 2010 Merit Award Environmental Analysis Document. This has been awarded to the City of Grover Beach Land Use Element Master EIR, prepared for the City of Grover Beach by SWCIA Environmental Consultants or Morrow Group and Crawford, Moultrie & Clark Associates.
Wow.
So, Mr. Mayor?
Very good.
Thank you.
What about Bruce?
Well, you know,
we have to have a picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, Bruce.
Nah, I don't think we're close because our secret's out now.
Oh, gosh. I'm
look at the suits.
Oh, that's cute. Twins.
Thank you, sir.
I'll be the
holder of the award.
Thank you.
It's going to be a loose meeting tonight, it looks like.
Here's the pamphlet, too, that gives a little more information on your award. And just to let you know, there were two merit awards given for outstanding environmental document. The other one went to the Los Osos Wastewater Treatment Plant, EIR.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
For this county to pick up two is amazing.
That's incredible.
Was that just because they were done?
I have a question.
It's a longevity award. Also,
so let me ask a question. Did that last award go to the county Public Works Department? Who actually got it?
Yeah, it was the Public Works Department.
It should have been, right? Because the other part didn't hardly earn
it. Except they aren't as organized as you are. The company who wrote that EIR, Michael Branham and Associates, has been trying to set up a time to give them the award with the Board of Supervisors, but the Board of Supervisors' agenda has been so busy that he hasn't been able to get on the agenda. Yeah.
So. Well, that's good. We're never too busy to get a reward, right?
Right. Yeah.
All right. That's good.
That's a pretty coveted award.
I would think so. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Debbie, you have a question?
I was wondering if you've submitted any press releases about this yet.
Not yet. No.
Okay. So, are you doing that, or are we doing that? Who's telling everybody how wonderful we all are?
Good question. Sounds like might be something Bruce could do.
There you go.
You know, and the reason why I say that is because I'm a consultant and. I'm not disparaging the news reporters or anything like that, but they like to hear from the cities as opposed to the consultants.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
great.
And
thank you.
And we'll be seeing you soon.
Great. Thank you, Mary. I don't like to hear that soon. That means the EIR for the Lodge Conference Center. That's good.
Yeah. It's underway.
That's exciting. Now that's exciting. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's move on to public communications this evening. Any member of the public may address the council for a period of time not to exceed 3 minutes on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. Is there anyone that would like to address the council during public communication this evening? Please come forward.
Good evening, City Council members and Mayor. This is Leah Greeley, Commissioner for the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. I just wanted to remind you that we are gearing up for the Dune Run, which is going to be on August 28th, followed by the Stone Soup Music Fair. And the Sizzling Summer Concerts and Farmers Market are ongoing every Sunday from 3 to 6.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Seeing none, I'm going to close it to the public and come back to the council. And we have no public hearings this evening, so we are now moving to our consent agenda. And do any members want to pull any items from consent or make a comment on any items on consent?
Well, I would make a comment or two on item number 4, when it's appropriate, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
And I have a question on item 5. I don't need to pull it. It's a question.
Okay. And I do want to pull item number 6.
I have a question on item number 4 also.
Okay. Okay. So, City Attorney, we're okay with just questions or comments without pulling from the agenda?
Well, not knowing what the questions or comments are going to be, my recommendation would be to take items 2, 3, and 7 as the current consent agenda, and the other 3 items at the appropriate time in the agenda individually.
Okay, that's fine. We will be legally correct then. So then I'll look for a motion on items 2, 3
and 7.
And 7, correct?
I'll move for staff's recommendations on items 2, 3, and 7 of the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Good. Okay. There's a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And I know we typically would take items pulled off the agenda and put them at the end of our agenda. However, since it is a pretty short agenda, And I'm hoping your questions are not real extensive. We'll take those now. So let's go to item number four, and this is consideration of a letter responding to the grand jury report on leaf blower hazards in San Luis County. Councilmember Myers.
All right. Just a couple of brief comments. First, I want to congratulate staff for their studied and restrained reply to the grand jury report. I thought that it was well done, covered the bases very well, and illustrated, I thought, you know, why the grand jury report was a little out of line. I'm personally a little disturbed with some of the reports I see coming to the grand jury. I was grand jury for a number of years and actually instructed the grand jury after 2 or 3 years on how to be a grand juror, and been the grand jury association that furthered the cause of the grand jury ever since that time up to this very day. I'm taking this chance to publicly state that I'm a little concerned that this current grand jury is getting into micromanaging the affairs of the city. This report on the blowers had nothing to do with about whether the city is bad, good, or indifferent. It was just trying to tell us what we ought to do, things that the city business. And I just want to make that comment in support of the staff reply to the grand jury report.
Okay. Did anyone else have any comments?
I had a question.
Okay. Councilman Peterson.
I was curious, as far as the city is concerned, what whether we know how many, whether we have any of these two-stroke leaf blowers in the city itself. I mean, as for city maintenance.
I believe we have two at the present time.
Two out of how many?
Do you know, Greg, offhand, how many we have?
Total 6 or 8.
Six mm-hmm. or eight.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
One comment. Has this issue or item been discussed at the mayor's meeting?
It has not. Not that I'm aware of.
I was just curious. I assume that everybody's gotten the grand jury mm-hmm. report with mm-hmm. the same sort of criticism. I just wondered if the mayor's felt that this was something that they might take up and discuss as a whole and or with the county supervisor that usually attends the mayor's meeting.
Yeah. No, it had not come up on any of the agendas, and if it does, I'll let you know.
Okay.
And I did want to, for clarity for anyone who doesn't have access to the staff report, this is a letter in response to the grand jury's report on leaf blower hazards, and I believe the report was recommending that the county and cities should adopt parallel ordinances that would phase out the use of all two cycle gasoline-powered leaf blowers within 2 years and adopt guidelines. And I think based on our past history, the level of complaints, certainly anytime you do an ordinance, there is our finances involved, and staff is recommending that we send a letter saying that we are not going to be pursuing an ordinance at this time. Is that correct, City Manager?
That's correct.
Okay. And since we've pulled this item from agenda, I'm going to see if anyone from the public has any comments on it. Let me open it up to the public. Okay. Seeing none, I'm closing it to the public, bring it back to the council. If there's no additional discussion, I'll accept a motion on this item.
I'll move the second alternative. The first alternative suggested by the staff.
So you move staff,
right? Not to prepare an ordinance at this time.
Okay. So basically move staff's recommendation.
Yes.
There's a second?
Second that.
Okay, there's a motion there and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carried.
Aye. Opposed.
There is one opposition. Councilmember Peterson. Okay, let's move on to item number five, and this is consideration of an agreement with the Five Cities Fire Authority to provide services. So who had a question on this item?
That would be me.
Okay, Councilmember Wright.
Thank you. My question pertains to, in the discussion area, the second paragraph, where it says there may be rare instances that would require an outside counsel to be hired by the authority or Grover Beach for a particular issue. In the event an actual conflict presents itself, Can you just explain that to me?
City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members, Council Member Bright. Inherent in our professional regulations and codes is that whenever we serve two clients at the same time, there has to be a disclosure of a potential conflict of interest. Should the interest of each of those two separate clients ever come in conflict with each other or be opposed, an actual conflict then arises. In order for an attorney to represent two clients at the same time when there is a potential conflict, there has to be a waiver of that, a disclosure and a waiver of that conflict executed by both clients. And if you recall, the Joint Powers Agreement contained those provisions, and when everybody executed those, the explanation and the provisions of the waiver of the conflict of interest was in there. If, in some instance, the Five Cities Fire Authority were in a position that is contraposed to Grover Beach, I could not represent both sides, obviously,
right,
from the legal standpoint.
Absolutely.
In those instances, I would actually completely step out of the equation. The assistant city attorney would represent the city, which is Mr. Donaldson. We have an ethical wall that's created for that purpose. And then I would recommend that the authority, the Joint Powers Authority, acquire outside counsel
okay.
as necessary.
That's really what I was after. So then we would be represented by our city attorney,
right.
And
yeah.
The authority would hire their... Okay.
Exactly.
That's really what I was after. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank okay. You. Any other questions? Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this item? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close it, bring it back to the council. And this is consideration of an agreement with the Five Cities Fire Authority to provide services. And that's for vehicle maintenance and, I think, some personnel services, legal and legal services. Someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I'll make a motion that we... where am I? Wrong one. We adopt the resolution authorizing the city to enter into an agreement to provide services to the Five Cities Fire Authority and to authorize the city manager to execute the agreement on behalf of the city.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, and then finally, item number six, and this was the awarded bid for safe routes to school infrastructure project at Grover Heights Elementary School and adjacent areas. Someone want to just kind of give us a real quick summary of this project so folks in the audience and folks that are at home understand the scope of this project.
I can. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. The Safe Routes to School Infrastructure Project is focused primarily on the Grover Heights Elementary School area, in particular Ritchie Road, which is along the frontage of the school, and along the west side of the school also. The primary scope of the project is construction of sidewalks to enhance pedestrian safety for children in and around the school area. And then there's also included a lighted crosswalk with advanced warning lights crossing 4th Street. The project is primarily grant funded, and that's about the extent of it. If you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer.
And that lighted crosswalk is the 4th and Atlantic City, correct?
At 4th and Atlantic, correct.
Great, thank you. Okay. Besides just getting that information out there, I had a couple of comments, and I have a concern. I see that after going through the bidding process, we yet again have Sousa Construction, LeGrand, over the, regarding their performance. And so I want to just make sure staff is watching the project, and I'm sure you will be, that they stay within the scope. And also making sure we have a timeline that's realistic. So I just wanted to express that, and I know that we have talked about maybe looking at other ways, because it seems like here's a firm that's found a way to take advantage of the system. So maybe that's a bit harsh language, but they certainly seem to have figured out how the process works. So I just wanted to express those concerns in public. This is an exciting project, and I'm not going to hold this up. I think we definitely want to move forward with this project. So that's my soapbox for the night. And if you wanted to carry that back to Suits Construction regarding some of our concerns over their performance, and if they're going to continue to work in the city, we hope that they'll be respectful and work in an efficient, expeditious manner. So, Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Yeah, I have one question. I don't think the staff report specifically states, but there is, I believe, just an inference that with the approval, the staff, correct?
Essentially, what that would be the direction, and we would come back at probably the same time we're awarding the 4th Street with an amendment to the capital improvement project that would do that.
Okay. Okay, I guess that answers my question.
May I say one thing?
Yes, you. Yes, Councilmember Bright.
Certainly, as a public works project, you would want to look at the low bidder, but previous history would certainly allow you to look to another bidder, and I'm sure you know that, and Martin knows that. So, if in fact that is a concern, you don't have to go with the low bidder, and we know that, right? We all know that. So,
okay.
Anywho, just wanted to say that.
Thank you for that. So you're clear on that. I think what you were referring to is that apparently with the bids that have come in, with the contingencies and everything else, there is a bit of a shortfall on this project, and staff is suggesting that to make that up, that the bid for South 4th from Seabright to, I believe, Highland seems to have
what I'd call non-construction items. There aren't the actual work in the contract. If our estimates come true, then we could be as much as $63,000 over the available budget. It's not likely that's going to happen. At the same time, we also got very favorable bids on the 4th Street project, so we have well in excess of $63,000 available. And per the city code, the city manager does have authority to change a program. Even though there's technically no change in the budget, because this fund is budgeted in a particular amount, it's merely a change in the CIP program, which, as you mentioned, we'd come back with an amendment so that you have a corrected CIP. So in this case, you know, there's a potential we could use more than the available budget.
Okay, and I agree with that, Greg, yeah. So let me ask a question. I may have made comments a little earlier that were a little confusing, so I'm going to try and ask a very direct question. Maybe that'll clear it up. Let's say we have a firm continues to be successful in coming in with a low bid, and then obviously there are, let's say, subsequent additional service.
The public contract code. You know, the ultimate situation would be to declare a contractor's bid non-responsive. And that could be related to the performance of previous contracts or to if you happen to be involved in litigation with that contractor. But making a finding of non-responsive is pretty harsh challenge. You know, it challenges the contractor's reputation, and I don't think it's something you'd enter into lightly. In the case of this particular contractor, Sousa Construction, you know, they have performed within the confines of the contract. We may have had a bumpy road on a few items with them, and you know, had some negotiations over contract change orders. But in general, we would not declare them a non-responsive contractor.
Okay. I'm not going to belabor at this point. City Attorney. Okay. Anyway, it is an exciting project. Certainly being able to put in sidewalks on Ritchie Road, the pedestrian activated or the lighted cross at
motion to award the construction of the Safe Routes to Schools infrastructure project, Grover Heights Elementary School and adjacent areas, to the lowest responsive bidder, Sousa Construction, Inc., and authorize the city manager to sign and affirm change orders to the project in amounts up to $21,594, et cetera, as recommended by staff.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, let's move on to our regular business tonight. This is agenda item number 8, and this is appointment to the Planning Commission, Community Development Director Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. As you know, the City of Grover Beach Planning Commission is a 7-member board. They make land use decisions on development projects, and they also make recommendations to the council on certain types of development projects as well. The commissioners are appointed by the council to serve 4-year terms. Recently, we had 3 commissioner terms that expired at the end of May. Commissioner Bloom, Commissioner Roberson, and Commissioner Marshall. The City Council has an advisory body screening committee which interviews prospective applicants and makes recommendations to the full council. I've been eager to serve the City of Grover Beach in this capacity. At the conclusion of the interviews, the screening committee recommended that the City Council reappoint Carl Bloom and Dr. Janet Roberson and appoint John LaFerriere to the 3 vacancies in the Planning Commission.
Thank you. My staff report. Do any members of the council have any questions of staff or any comments that you would like to make?
I guess I'll point out that unfortunately both Commissioner Bloom and Commissioner Roberson were not able to make it tonight.
Okay.
And also I guess I should point out that Commissioner Marshall did not reapply, hence he was not one of interviewed, but he did serve, I believe, 8 years in the Planning Commission.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, do you have anything?
I would only comment that, yes, we did have some outstanding applicants. I think virtually all of them were well qualified. And I must tell you that I am very pleased with the selection of the committee with John LaFerriere. I have known John since he was on the Parks Recreation Commission. And I think he's going to do an outstanding job with the Planning Commission.
You're doing a super job, being a really good, informed commissioner.
Well, I guess I have to join in and just voice my pleasure at Glenn Marshall standing around for 8 years. I served with him for 4 years plus, and he was one of the better people on there, although we had a lot of good people. He was my favorite person, I guess I should say.
Excuse me.
All right.
Well,
I got 2 favorite people here, but excluding these 2 up here, of course. Yeah. Well, I got into that pretty deep.
Yeah, you did. I think you better.
Yeah, anyway. And having known John and worked with him in the polls and other sort of things, it's really a pleasure to have him apply, and I'm glad to see that the screening committee brought him aboard as well.
Well, as sitting on that committee, I must say that we had some very qualified applicants, but I know that John is going to be a tremendous asset, particularly with the loss of our
Glenn.
Yes, I was going to try and give him some other that I couldn't. So anyway, but he really was such an asset to our Planning Commission, and I know that you will fill that role tremendously.
Stayed for the entire term. He was very committed, and I think as he put in his application, I think we've all seen that, and I know Kathy Padker will testify about his involvement. He has been truly an asset to this community, and unfortunately, I was not able to make the interviews due to a second schedule change, and thank you for stepping in for me, and I'm glad to see you guys make the right decision, or my right recommendation, I should say. So I would also just want to make sure that since we probably have not done this in the past, we really need to start a new tradition of presenting our commissioners with a proclamation. And so I think Glenn would be a good place to start to thank him for his 8 years of service. So I think at this point,
Yeah, we got them.
We've done them in the past.
Uh-huh. I have one hanging on my wall.
I do, too. I have two.
Well, yeah, but you never came before the council to receive it, correct?
Oh, no, I remember.
I remember some people came. I don't remember if I got one, but...
Anyway, it's a good idea regardless of what
happened. You didn't come shake my hand, that much. Anyway, we're poor John's back there going, hey, come on, guys. Get this done with. See how well we know him. Anyway... Peterson is second by Councilmember Myers, and I think we can do this on a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries.
Mayor, staff would request a roll call vote since this is a resolution.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you. Were you napping over there too? A roll call.
Councilmember Peterson?
My
yes.
Fault.
Yes.
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 Yes, and with that, I'd like to introduce our newest Planning Commissioner, John LaFerrier. John, did you?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council. John LaFerrier. I'm humbled and honored by your praise. I just hope the pressure of following Glenn doesn't crush me, but aside from that, I'm looking forward to the role of Commissioner and being part of Team Grover again. So thank you.
Well, we know you'll step to the challenge. There's no pressure. And Allison, you're on board, right? Thanks. Very good. Okay. Let's move on to item number 9, and this is the Water Shortage Contingency Plan stage of
air, water, and sewer. This item tonight is to do with the water shortage contingency plan, and to refresh council's recollection on that plan, the state of California has required that the city create and update an urban water management plan on a 5-year cycle since about 1985. So the council has adopted urban water management plans in 85, 90, 95, 2000, and in March of 2006 was the last urban water management plan that was adopted by council. Now, in that plan, in the urban water management plan, is the water shortage contingency plan. And that is a plan that the intent of it by state was that there be a measured course of action by the city in the face of water shortages to the city. Now, in that plan, there are 5 stages of water shortage, and it's in Appendix J. The various stages are based upon the rainfall amounts that occur at the Lopez Recreation Area and also the City Corporation Yard. Looking at the display on the screen, the water shortage stages of action begin with minor stages, moderate, and work their way up to severe and critical. Reduction methods that the population is expected to adhere to, but adherence to those methods is voluntary for minor and moderate stages of action. As you go into severe and then later on to critical, those consumption reduction methods become mandatory in character. And then last but not least, stage 5, should the council decide that we have reached stage 5 and that water supply conditions have returned to normal, that would terminate the emergency response. Looking at some of the consumption reduction methods and remembering that they're voluntary under stage 1 and 2 and mandatory under stage 3 and 4, they would be things like notification of customers through billing inserts, perhaps providing other information in those billing inserts throughout the given year, provision of technical information both in billing inserts and on channel 20, and then last but not least, the council could decide to expand the various conservation programs which are already in place in addition to these methods, such as the low-flow showerheads and low-flow toilets and so forth. Looking at the prohibitions on use of potable water, again, these are consumption reduction methods, and again, remembering that these are voluntary for stage 1 and stage 2, and they would be mandatory testing pool levels, and not washing cars or boats except using with a quick shut-off nozzle on your hose. And then fountains and car washes would have to be using recycled water or recirculated water. And then finally, the council could impose days and or hours of irrigation for the city as a whole. looking at past history on the water shortage contingency plan, in June of 2007, the council declared a stage one. It was continued again in July of 2008, and a stage two was declared by the council in July of 2009. That's where we stand today. Looking at the rainfall conditions that have occurred over the last year, looking at July 1st, 2009 through June 30th of 2010, we've had quite a bit of rainfall. In terms of water years, it's been a very good year for the last year. We've had over 113% of normal rainfall. So from that perspective, at staff level, we're quite happy about that. Looking in the past, though, we find a different picture. Looking back between July of 2008 to June of 2009, we find we're at, that year was about 41% of normal. The year before that, July 1, 2007 to June 30th of 2008, that was about 72% of normal. And going back 4 years, rainfall yet, even though we've had the 1 year at 113.5%. In fact, in thinking about how I would answer a question like that, this coming year, we would have to have 230% of normal in 1 year to get the whole 5 year span back to an average.
Good point.
Looking at another factor in terms of water supply, looking at Lake Lopez and the level in Lake Lopez, you can see what's happened in June of 07 when the dry conditions started. The lake level fell through June of 2009 down to 55.8%. And then in the last year, under these good rainfall conditions, it's risen back up to 61%. So over the last year, at least, the lake level improved. However, if we see dry conditions again, it will begin to fall again. Other conditions concerning water supply. If the council will recall, as part of the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, the Northern Cities Management Area agencies, of which Grover Beach is one, are required to conduct monitoring on seawater or on coastal wells that are along the coast. These wells were installed in the 1960s and were monitored fairly irregularly up until late last year. Water quality that would indicate that seawater intrusion might be beginning to occur. And those monitoring tests were taken in May and August and October. And the level of those constituents that would indicate seawater intrusion rose quite rapidly over that period. The good news is that because of the 113% of normal rainfall that occurred last year, those signs of seawater intrusion in that well disappeared beginning in January, February, and April. So the last three monitoring tests on that well indicate no seawater intrusion at present. So that's quite good news. Looking at all those factors, staff is recommending that that the council consider continuing a stage one level of alert because frankly, we don't know what's going to happen next year. We need a lot of rain next year to get back to average. And the National Weather Service is saying that a La Nina has formed and that we're likely to have a drier than normal year. So there's some risk that we're going to have a drier year next year, and we may be right back into some significant water supply conditions at the end of next year. So that's why staff is at present recommending a stage one. Would not be terrifically expensive. The money for that is available in the Water Conservation Fund should it be needed for that purpose. So that ends my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Questions of staff? Councilmember Bright.
Is there any detriment to just sticking with our stage two alert? I mean, stage two is rainfall condition at 65% or less than normal. We're really right there. I mean, and if we, I guess this is a two-part question. And if we were to stay at a stage two, would we notify, would you do that notification as well?
We would do that notification as well. And from staff points, at least this particular staff member's point of view, could not argue with that position.
Okay, so then it would be, it's like an annual notification, whether
So far as I understand the process, it's a process where the customers would be notified as soon as practicable after the council's determination of the stage. And then they would again be notified a couple more times during the year to make sure that that awareness stays in place.
Thank you.
Anyone else? No questions?
No question.
Mr. Mayor, just a clarification. You're at stage two now. Obviously, if the situation gets any worse, your next step then would be to go to a stage three.
Mm-hmm. City Attorney?
So therefore, one of the things to consider in what is being proposed, recommended, a reduction to stage or declaration of stage one provides the council with an additional step in the event and the following year becomes, as the city engineer indicated, a returns to a heavier drought condition. If you remain at stage two, the next step may move you towards mandatory water mm-hmm. conservation.
Correct.
That is correct. That's the way I understand it, Mayor.
Okay. So if we stayed at stage two, and then next year there were drought conditions, substantial drought conditions, then we would more than likely could put us in a situation where we would possibly move to stage three, which then means mandatory. And if we were to go downgrade to stage one, as staff is recommending, the drought condition comes, we do
have other conditions would probably be insufficient.
Hmm. Well, may I say something?
You have the floor.
When I look at stage three, though, to go to stage three, it could be 65% or less than normal for 3 years, or 50% less than normal persisting past one season. So you really have more than just 65% or less. So I think that right now we're in a situation where our water is precious, and I just don't know that it's a time when I think we should be saying that water's not so precious, and I believe that we need to keep okay. Keep it where it is. But anyway, I guess we're not there yet.
Well, I mean, you make a great point, because I guess this is really, they're talking about four-year average and blending, as opposed to saying we've had a drought condition for two consecutive years or three, so it's a matter of our interpretation.
Yeah.
Correct. So to go to a stage three, I think it would really, we're really looking at some severe drought situation, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you actually asked the question that I had written down, so that I had to make a motion.
I would like to comment that I agree that we should stay at stage two. I see no reason to go back to stage one. I don't think we should eliminate the water problem altogether. I think the smart thing to do is just to stay at stage two, at least for another year, and maybe 2 years, and let's see what sort of rainfall we do get.
I have a comment. Yes. I'm moved also to think we should stay at stage two a whole lot because of what our engineer said, that we have to have up 200% more over average rain to even get back to average in next year, and that doesn't sound very likely to me, so I think prudence dictates we stay at stage two myself.
Okay, and I think the only thing I wanted to just get clarification on, looks like there's no discernible difference in the cost if we were to stay at stage two and stage one based on your discussion and the fiscal impact. And then I would agree with everyone, what the comments have been made up here. We've started down a road of water conservation measures, and hopefully some of the behaviors out there are changing. So if it is isn't truly a situation where we can interpret it differently if we are in a severe drought, I would agree with those comments.
So at stage of action and continue the consumption reduction methods.
I'll second that.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on the motion? And I don't believe this is a resolution. This is a direction, correct, City Attorney? There is no resolution, I don't believe.
No, there is no resolution. Voice vote will be appropriate.
Okay. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you. And thank you for your work, Jim. Appreciate the information from Jim and staff as well.
Thank you. It's very informative.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Okay. Okay. We already took care of our pooled consent agenda items. Council committee reports. Councilmember Bright, you have anything you want to report tonight?
I don't. I have air pollution control next week, so I'll report on that later. And EVC, it all comes at once. So.
Very good. Councilmember Myers.
I'm not prepared to report tonight, but I do have a report on the Zone 3 I'll have ready for the next meeting. So.
Very good. Councilmember Peterson.
There is a Visitor Convention Bureau meeting Wednesday morning, which I have to miss because I have a four-day vacation this summer. However, I will be having a conference call tomorrow morning with Savor the Central Coast event, and we'll be working on putting together some banners that can be used not only on that train there, but afterwards at other city events, and possibly some cards that can be handed out promoting the city of Grover Beach, so to the 8,000 visitors. So hopefully this will all be part of our push to help help our businesses in this city and help the city with higher income.
Great.
So we're making good progress there.
And could I ask you to do something for us? I've noticed that all of the advertising in the local newspaper has the other cities, and I wasn't sure if that was reflective of the funding level that they're funding the event, we're funding the train. Could you maybe get
yes.
some clarification
yes,
on that?
Yes, I actually asked that same question, and I understand that we had a couple of city managers ask that question, and the reason is because we got a very good deal in sponsoring the train at $5,000, but you had to have a $25,000 sponsorship to have your logo included. But what we will have that nobody else will have is our logo will be going around the whole venue day in and day out.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols, you have anything you want to report tonight?
Nope. Got a busy week this week, though.
Yes, you do. And thank you for taking the South County Area Transit for me, since I do have a scheduling conflict. And I think the Five Cities Fire Authority, we all were there. We've seen the coverage, and just really good things. I actually got a lot of great comments just this weekend from folks who were saying what a great thing that consolidation was, and for the action that's been taken. So nice job, Ricky. Good to see you. Okay. So I'll report on the others as well. Okay, then moving to city council member items, I had asked to place an item on our future agenda regarding regarding increasing the number of card tables allowed at permitted locations. I was approached by Dave Stearns, Central Coast Casino, and he says that while he'd like business to be better, there have been times when he's had folks waiting. I believe he's got four tables now. And he would like us to consider if we would increase that number to keep that option open, because I know he's continued to do quite a good business to do that.
Yes, I would agree.
I do, too.
Okay.
Well, yes, I think we should allow that to occur after we get a report.
Very good. City Attorney.
Mayor, thank you for our clarity, for staff's clarity. What we're being directed is to return with an item for discussion and basically lay out what would be involved, what would have to happen both here and at state level before such a move could be made.
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay. So I think we have consensus. Great. Thank you. So moving on to council communications. Any members of the council have any communications this evening? None? City Manager, report and comments, item number 11.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Tonight I'm asking the council to consider canceling a couple of meetings over the next month. We are looking at a light schedule. From my perspective, there aren't any issues at this point that were tied to any specific time frames. I will note that the two meetings that I am suggesting that you look at for canceling would be August 16th. They'll hold the meeting on August 2nd, so we would have a meeting on each of those months so that we could transact necessary business. Just wanted to note that there could be a cost savings, or the estimated cost savings cost us about $3,000 to put together an agenda packet and conduct the actual meeting, and those costs would be eliminated. So that's staff's recommendation. Obviously, we're available to take council direction.
Okay. Any thoughts down here?
Yeah, well, I'll be gone September 7th, so that displeases me to have a vacation that day. So.
It's all about you, Bob. Debbie, you have any thoughts?
Oh, I would have liked to have had more notice. I would have planned my vacation accordingly.
Well, we still have to decide tonight. Right. Mayor Pro Tem.
I would concur with the September 7th meeting. I don't think we should run consecutive meetings. We should not miss two consecutive meetings. I think we ought to stick with the August 16th meeting, but eliminate September 7th meeting.
Okay, Councilmember Wright.
Well, I think if we don't have sufficient business.
But I will say that I can't support canceling two meetings in a row. There are lots of items on our agenda, and quite honestly, there is some opportunity. So I would really like to keep that meeting on the schedule. And yes, September 7th, I agree, because what I suspect is that there will be a discussion about possibly a meeting in December or something. So I don't want to get into this routine of canceling meetings. I think saving money is good. I think if we could do one in September and then look at one toward in the holidays, I think it makes a little better sense. So, I think that's where I'm at. I thought there maybe another option would have been to have blended the August 2nd and 16th and do a special meeting on the 9th, but I don't know if that just complicates the matter further.
So. From a staff perspective, no. Taking August 2nd off would probably, we'd still be canceling two meetings, we'd still be saving the money, and we'd still be conducting at least one meeting a month. So I don't think that kind of a change would be a problem for staff.
And there's City Attorney.
Thank you, Mayor, Council Members. The only item that perhaps we should make sure does not need to go on the 2nd is the South 4th Street Rehabilitation Project. Is there a timing issue with that? Community Development Director, no. Thank you. That's fine.
Was there not a timing issue?
No,
he said no.
Okay. Hopefully, I didn't complicate the issue.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, Mr. Mayor.
So, what do you think, Mayor Pro Tem?
I'm not adverse to it.
Okay.
No, I'm okay with it.
So, do we have consensus then to say we will have a meeting on August 9th and then one on September 7th?
Yes. On September 7th.
So not on September 7th.
Mm-hmm. Not on, I'm sorry.
September. On August 9th.
August 9th.
So one meeting in August on the 9th.
And September 23rd.
And then City Manager will work together to make sure that these will be probably somewhat heavy agendas.
Yes.
On the 9th and the 21st.
Right.
To where folks, and I've seen it too many times, start to say either mm-hmm. let's push it off or let's leave it for a future council. And we have too many things in our goals to accomplish, so I mm-hmm. do not want to get mm-mm. caught mm-mm. in that situation.
Agreed. Good point.
So,
yeah,
I agree.
Good
point.
Okay, so then we will.
So what is the end result here?
So the end result is that we are going to do a meeting instead of August 2nd, we'll have one on August 9th, and then one on September 21st.
Mayor, council members, and for formality of the situation, would staff would request a motion and at least a voice vote on that.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make that motion then, that we have... that we have our meeting on Monday, August 9th in August, and then we cancel Tuesday, September 7th.
And August 16th.
Yes.
Oh, we're canceling August 16th. So really, we're canceling two meetings then.
It's two meetings, but the time in between the meetings
is less. Three meetings, though, really.
No.
Second.
I'll second that motion.
The one thing I do want to caution staff of is September, the League of California Cities annual conference is the 15th, 16th, and 17th. So I would say good luck with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Of September.
But I guess that would be the case anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. So there was a motion.
In a second.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, roll call. Oh, it's a voice. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay. City Attorney, any reports or comments?
No, Mayor, thank you.
Looks like we have one closed session item this evening. Can you cover that?
Certainly. It is the intention of the City Council to meet in closed session tonight on one item, and that's labor negotiation, and the represented employee group is SEIU.
Okay, very good. With that, we are going to recess to closed session.